We've been looking over the past few weeks at life lessons as they're found in the parables of Jesus. And we've had patience and getting prepared, as was mentioned. Today we're looking at stuff. And I'm reading from the parable about the guy who was building bigger barns. And as I read this, you might think, what's missing in this guy's outlook on life? What's he missing? This is from Luke chapter 12. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. Help us get over the disagreements where we've got to split the loot." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who sent me to be a judge or arbiter over you?" And Jesus said to the crowd, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said to himself, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample good laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you. And all the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Did you know that the average American house is twice as large as it was 50 years ago, and yet our families are much smaller than they were 50 years ago? And one reason I think that our homes are much larger today is that we have so much stuff. Remember George Carlin and his little skit on stuff? He said, our houses are just big boxes with lids on them to store our stuff in. And we go out from that box, and what do? We get more stuff, even more stuff, and take it back to the box. When Patty and I moved from Ohio back to Connecticut, one thing that move forced us to do was to go through our stuff. But that was many years ago. And now our garage is filled with all kinds of gardening stuff and lawn mowers and leaf blowers and you know, clay pots for this kind of plant and that kind of plant. Our kitchen should be redone because the cabinets are full. And the fridge is too small for all the stuff we want to put in it. And downstairs, in the back cave, where I have my office, things are sort of horizontally organized along the floor. Books and DVDs and all kinds of... I know where everything is, but I just think, you know, one day eight track tapes may come back, and I want stuff. I want stuff. I want a new grill. I want a new this or that. Patty wants a van so that she can go out to the plant store and get even more stuff. I just can't throw stuff away. Books I cannot throw away. But stuff, the trouble is there's no room to put it any place anymore. Everything is chock full of stuff. Garage, office, kitchen. Jesus once told a parable that fits in with this. And I'll just put it in modern terms. He says, there once was a man who was very successful, and he had a lot of stuff. But he had no place to put his stuff. His house was too small. His place where he hung his clothes and everything was too small. There was just no room for anything. So what did he say? He said, I will tear down my house and build an even larger house, a McMansion. And there I will have room for all my stuff. I'll have walk-in closets and places for all my stuff. And then I'll be able to say, you know, soul, take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. You've got plenty for a number of years. But then God says to him, life doesn't work that way. Today, your life is required of you. And you know what God calls this person, what Jesus called this person? A fool. He wasn't wise. He was a fool. He wasn't bad. He wasn't evil. He was foolish. And I think the question for us this morning is, how was he foolish? Where did he go wrong? I think one thing that struck me as I read this parable was that he thought that all his possessions, all his stuff, would give him security against the uncertainties of this life. And of course, we all need stuff. There's no question about that. We all need stuff just to survive, just to live. We need clothes on our backs. We need a roof over our head. We need bread on our tables. But what I think this man did not realize was that there's more to our needs than just a bunch of stuff. Our stuff only answers certain needs, and that for a short time. It doesn't answer all the needs that we have. You know, there was an old saying that used to be very popular, and that was that he who dies with the most toys wins. He who dies with the most toys wins. And it ain't so. Is it? This man, says Jesus, was rich in lots of stuff, but he was poor in his relationship with God. Now, I don't know, are any of you following The Crown on Netflix, the new series with The Crown? Patty and I just happened to be watching episode 4 of the new series. And toward the end of that was a scene that sort of knocked me out of my socks, really. And it was about Prince Philip's mother, Alice, who's royalty. But she's a chain-smoking Orthodox nun. And in the last 10 or 15 minutes of that episode, she asked Prince Philip, her son, about his faith. And he says, it's dormant. And then she says, in effect, it's important. It's important to have a faith. And then speaking out of a very harsh background, she had a terrible life. And she goes on to make the comment, faith is everything. It was the only thing that brought her through the harshness that she had been through. This man in the parable had lots of stuff, but he was poor toward God. That was one thing he'd overlooked. Why else was he foolish? I think there's one thing that I noticed that's absent too in his life, and that is any sense of gratitude for what he has. There's no sense that, he has a lot of stuff because God has been very generous to him. Everything in that parable is I and me and mine. It's all in the first person. Now, I happened to be reading a little essay by an agronomist out in Illinois, and he was talking about one year when Illinois had a very good year for farmers. The crops were great. And he, in his analysis, said that, 95% of that tremendous crop was due to the chemical interaction of the soil and the seed and the rain and the sun. 5% was the farmer's work. Now, I remember C.S. Lewis once saying that the difference between a wilderness and a gardener and a garden was the gardener. And I think that point's to be made. But having said that, I think this man just saw everything as the result of his own efforts. He didn't see that, sure, it's important to work hard, to have an effort, but your hand is just one hand in a very complicated pie. As Christians, we have a sense that it's not because we're fantastic, though we may be fantastic. It's because of God's generosity. And our whole life, the whole motivation of the Christian life is really thanksgiving, it's gratitude for what God has done for us in Christ. That's the bottom line of a Christian life. And I think it may take a certain humility on our part to see that what we have is, sure, part of our effort, but a great deal of it is God's generosity toward us. I think if we don't have that humility, we begin to think that life owes us everything. And it doesn't. Thanksgiving, gratitude, it's something that was missing, something that made this man foolish. Why was this man a fool? There's something else missing. There's no sense of gratitude, of generosity towards others and expressing that gratitude. Everything is me, mine, mine. This man is missing out on the joy that can be there when we take what we have and share it. Our love, our stuff, our abilities, our talents. You know, there is a joy that comes from giving, and you know, just the sense that we are helping someone else in difficulty, or we are helping someone else become happy. There's a joy in that, a satisfaction that comes from that, that's missing from that man's life. There's no consideration of other people at all. Just his stuff. C.S. Lewis has a very popular and well-known story, and you may have heard it. It's about a man who has a dream, and in this dream he can go both to heaven and hell. And he goes to hell, and he sees a lot of misery. And he sees people, their elbows are frozen. There's food there, not for everybody, but they can't bend their elbows. They can't get the food to their mouths. Frozen. He goes to heaven, and he sees the same thing, that people's elbows are frozen. They can't move them. But the big difference is that they are putting bread in one another's mouths. They can reach the food, and they can reach their neighbor. And according to this story, for C.S. Lewis, the difference between heaven and hell is generosity. I don't know about you. I don't want Jesus calling me a fool. I want a sense, sure, stuff is, we all need it. But it's not the end all. And along with that, faith is important. A sense of gratitude for what we have and have been given. And a generosity, a willingness to share that with others. That's the way of the wise. Happy Thanksgiving. Amen.